We turn God's Word tonight to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3. We return tonight to our series in Proverbs for parenting. It's been some time since I've preached on that. I return to that, looking at verses 27 and 28 of the chapter. We'll begin reading at verse 13 and read through verse 29. Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Thus far we read God's word. This of the text is verses 27 and 28. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Let's now pray and ask God's blessing on the preaching. Our Father which art in heaven, we are thankful for this word that thou dost give us tonight, and we pray, O Lord, that thou wilt bless this word. Open our hearts by the working of the Holy Spirit, that we may learn from this how it is that we are to serve those around us, and especially help those who are in need. And use this as well to give instruction to us as parents, that we may teach the same thing to our children. They're in need of this instruction. We pray that our children and young people would lay hold upon this as well, that they would be delivered from their selfishness, and that they would live to serve the Lord Jesus Christ by serving those whom he puts in their lives. So we pray, Father, that thou wilt bless us in the hearing of this word, encourage us in our service of one another. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing tonight our series on Proverbs for parenting. We've been looking at certain passages in the book of Proverbs, especially in the beginning chapters of the book of Proverbs, from the perspective of Solomon sitting down with his son, giving him good instruction. We have here in the book of Proverbs inspired parenting. We're allowed to listen in on Solomon as he instructs his son. And we know it's inspired by God himself because it's here in the Holy Scriptures giving to us as parents instruction to, as we teach and instruct the children that God has given to us. We have in the book of Proverbs the wisdom of Jesus Christ for parenting. The heart of what we are to teach our children as parents is wisdom. We saw that even in the verses that we read, that takes us back to chapter 1. It's the very focus of the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of Jesus Christ. But there are different aspects of that wisdom that must be taught to our children. But in the end, when we break it all down, the very heart of what we are to teach the coming generations in the church is Jesus Christ, and that they are to love Jesus Christ, and that they are to love Jesus Christ by loving the neighbor that is put in their path. That's the very heart and essence of the instruction we give to our children. We teach them about the love of Jesus Christ for his people. And then we teach them, now you love him, and this is how you do it. You love those who are around you. That's the very essence of the law itself. We have part of that before us tonight. In the text that we consider tonight, as we listen in on Solomon giving instruction to his son, Solomon is teaching his son how to love the neighbor. And he's doing that in a very specific way. It's not just broad and general, love your neighbor. But he's saying this, when your neighbor is in need, help him. When your neighbor is in need, help him. Help her. Help that neighbor, whoever it is. That is part of the instruction that we as parents must give to our sons and our daughters. And that's necessary instruction. Now let me begin there tonight. This is necessary instruction. Why is it so important? Why is it necessary? First of all, it's necessary because our children do not do this naturally of themselves. What comes naturally to them is selfishness. We and our children have selfish hearts. Even as those who know the grace of God have the life of Jesus Christ within our hearts, we still battle against that selfishness. In addition to that, the world tells us and our children to indulge that selfishness. Live for yourself. Don't put others first. Put yourself first as you live your life. So we need, as parents, to be reminded of the high calling that we have to warn our children of their selfishness, but also then to teach them positively the way in which they are to show kindness and goodness to the neighbor. Secondly, this instruction is necessary because we learn from it how we are to serve in the church and in the world as well. We learn from this how we're to serve one another. This is a word for us within the church. And therefore, as parents, we're to teach our children how they are to serve the other members of the church. That's part of living in the communion of the saints. But in addition to that, this is part of our witness in the midst of the world. It's not just about how we're to treat each other. It's about how we're to treat anybody who crosses our path. And our witness in the world should be one that's evident in the works that we do, the deeds that we do in the midst of this world to those who are around us, even to those who are kind to us in the midst of this world. But the third reason this is so necessary and important is because we are told in the scriptures that this is the essence of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who know Christ and his goodness and kindness and love will reflect that in the way in which they live their lives. And so when we're teaching our kids to help those who are in need, we're teaching them how to serve Christ himself. We want to connect the text tonight with what Jesus says about that in the New Testament in Matthew 25. But we look tonight then at this series in Proverbs for Parenting under, and this passage under the theme, teaching benevolence, teaching how it is that we are to help those in need. That's the first point. Helping the needy. Here's the idea of the text. Secondly, that in doing this, we're serving the Lord. This is why we must do it. And then finally, having the ability. Here's the possibility of it. We can do this in the strength of God and his grace. Solomon here in the text instructs his son to help those who are in need. That's the idea of the words in verse 27 specifically, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Those are striking words there in verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. What does that last part mean? To whom it is due. Literally, the idea is this. Withhold not good to those who own it. To those who own it. That's the literal idea of the text. And the idea is that there are certain things that God has given to us, gifts and abilities, financial gifts and abilities, physical abilities, mental abilities, whatever it may be, God gives them to us, but they're not ours simply to use for ourselves, but God gives them so that we may use them to serve others. And so the idea is we don't own those gifts. God owns them, of course. He gives them to us, but also the other people who are around us, as it were, own those things so that we are to share them with those who are around us. That includes material wealth, musical abilities, knowledge, experience, time, and so many other things as well. So the idea of the text is we've been given something and there are people around us who have need and we then are to help them in their time of need. Notice as well about the text that it does not distinguish between Christians and non-Christians, believers and unbelievers. Here in this connection, we ought to remember the good instruction that we have in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6 verse 10, where we read, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So this goodness that we are to show to others is not just for those within the church. That's where it begins. We're to help each other within the church, and we're to teach our sons and daughters that. But it's not just that. We're to help everybody who is around us where we have the opportunity. We are called to do good to those who are in need, to our neighbors, to someone you come across in the store. Maybe in this past week, with all of the bad weather that we had, there was someone in front of you who slid off the street into the ditch, or there was a neighbor that his car went into the ditch and you had the opportunity in this week not to just drive right by, but to stop. You didn't know that person at all and to help push their car out of the ditch or to help them get unstuck in the snow. That's part of what the text here is talking about. There is someone in need. You had the ability and you gave them that help. You see, we have to understand that every person who crosses our path in the midst of this world, whether it's someone in the church or someone outside of the church, they've all been sovereignly brought there by God Himself for a purpose and a reason. As part of believing the sovereignty of God as it applies to the people that are found in our lives. And the text tells us we're called to serve them and we're called to help them. Now we have to see and understand how we are to do that. The idea of the text here is that there's someone in need and we have the ability to help. It's stated negatively in the text, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Sometimes there are people in need and we don't have the ability to help them. If someone slid off into the ditch in front of me this week and I was by myself, I wouldn't have the ability to help them because of my crutches and not being able to walk. If someone has a financial need and we have nothing to spare, then we can't obviously help them. If we're busy in so many different things and right and good things and we don't have the time to help somebody, we don't have the time to help somebody. That's part of it. If we don't have the ability, then we don't help in those times. But if we do have the ability, the text says, then we are to help those who are in need. And that includes physical things. Maybe there's someone who's hungry. They need something to drink. And so when they're in need, we see that and we help them. I know we had that when I was pastor in Loveland, that there would sometimes be people who come driving up and they would want some financial help. And then I can remember one time someone came and the deacons of the church had already left. And I said, well, the deacons handle that within the church. If you come back for a worship service, we'll gladly meet with you and talk with you. But in the meantime, we'll go make some sandwiches for you and give you food. If you need something right now, we'll help and care for your need. That's the idea of which the text is speaking. Or you come across someone who's stuck. They've gone off the road like I described and you help them. They have an immediate need and you're able to help. You go and help them. We're to teach our kids this. Our sons and daughters, that they're to help those who are in need. Think about it from this perspective, what happens sometimes in the playground at school, where there are some of those kids sometimes who don't completely fit in, or maybe they don't feel like they fit in, or they got in a fight with someone else and they're just off by themselves, for whatever reason it may be. And we ought to be parents who are teaching our children, hey, you see one like that, go and talk to him or her. Don't let them be. Don't just ignore them. Go and try to help that person in your class. I don't care what they did or what they're like. You're to go and help them. They're in need. They're lonely right then. Maybe they need your help at that time. But part of that is not just we're to give physical help to those who are in need, but we have to remember to understand and look at the text spiritually as well. There are so many in this world and so many in the church as well who need spiritual help. There are some in the world, many in the world in fact, who don't know the hope and comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. Their greatest need is not something physical. Their greatest need is something spiritual. That they would know the hope and comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. And we don't know how it is that God may be pleased to use us. So we always have to remember to be focused on that too, in what we say and what we do in the confession that we make. Also that happens within the church. That there are those who are struggling in their sin, they're floundering in their sin, they're ensnared to the devil in a certain sin, and so we want to help them. But there are those who are struggling to know the comfort of their salvation in Jesus Christ. They need help. They need comfort. That comes only from the Word of God. Part of what the text is saying to us is we're to go to those who are in need and help them and care for them. When we have the ability to help, we must not withhold that. As parents, that's what we're to teach our children. And we're to do that right away. That's verse 28. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give. When thou hast it, by thee. At that very moment, the text is saying, do it right away. Of course, we know it would be foolish to say someone's stuck in the ditch. Well, I'll ride by tomorrow, and if they're still there, then I'll help them out of the ditch. Or someone who's hungry, literally has no food. You say, well, if they're still hungry tomorrow, then I'll help them. And the same should be true for whatever situation it is. We don't put it off and say, you know, well, maybe tomorrow, maybe some later time I'll do this, but we're to help right away in the needs that others have. We're to help them in their physical needs and help them in their spiritual needs and bring in that way the love and the hope of God. That's the idea of the text. And now the text says to us as parents that we are to teach our children this. And this is the instruction that our children need, and we need it as well as parents. We need that, and our children need that, because this is not something that comes naturally to us. This is not something that our children will just pick up on their own. It's not something they will just pick up on their own because of the selfishness that I identified in the introduction, the selfishness that lives in their heart. What comes naturally is keeping things for themselves. What comes naturally is fighting about their toys. What comes naturally is hoarding things to themselves and and not sharing with others. What comes naturally is saying, that's my favorite sweatshirt, that's my favorite shirt, that's my favorite pair of shoes, you're not going to wear those. Oh, I don't need them right now, but you're still not going to wear those. That's what comes naturally. We know that as parents, that that's what comes naturally to us, that we would keep the things we have to ourselves. And that's why we must teach our children then. And part of this instruction we give to our children is to identify the selfishness that's found in their hearts. When we see it already at a young age, to begin pointing that out to them. This is what selfishness does. It holds everything for yourself. But when there is a love for others, and in fact a love for Jesus Christ, this is what you're going to do. You're going to share. You're going to share. You're going to be concerned with them. And in fact, that favorite thing that you enjoy, you're going to learn to delight in the fact that someone else can enjoy it as well. We know that with our kids. That does not come naturally. That they delight in the fact that someone else can enjoy the same thing that they enjoy. No, that's not what they're thinking. Oh, here, you have my favorite toy because I want you to delight in this as much as I have delighted in it in the past. Of course not. That's not the way that they think as they grow up in their sinfulness. And so we have to be teaching them, to give, to help. Help even their siblings. Help those who are in need. This is addressing the selfishness that lives in their hearts. But also then, we must teach them positively to give things for the good of others. Don't we as parents want to instill this in the lives of our children when they are very young? This, for example, can happen at the supper table. I know sometimes that we can say at our supper tables, well, if you don't dig in right away, you're not going to get in. That's the way it goes in our house. Well, should that be the way that it goes in our home? We have that sometimes with dessert passed around the table. The kids ask, how much can I have? Well, a teaching opportunity. Wrong question. You're thinking about yourself. Don't we all think that way? I like the biggest piece. Give me the most. As adults, we can have that as well. But that's a teaching opportunity to say, no, think about everybody else here. Look how many people are on the table and look at the size of the dessert. And think about, well, this is my part and everybody else can have as much or even more than I have. How different that would be at our tables if we're thinking along those lines. That's a way to instill in our children when they're very young to think about others and helping those who are in need. We can teach them to give. Maybe to give away some of their toys if they have so many toys. They can give them certainly to others that they know maybe that are in need. We can teach them to share at home the things that God has given to them. To be willing to share them with their siblings and share them with friends as well. But the text says that one of the ways in which we teach this to our children is even by setting up a hypothetical situation. That's what Solomon does here. In verse 28, say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. He uses an example. And he says, he shows how absurd it is to do that actually. That's what the point is. If you have it right there, you're not going to tell someone, tomorrow I'll help you. Like the example that I gave of someone who slid off the road and you say, well, if they're still there tomorrow, then maybe I'll help them push their car out of the ditch. No, if you have the ability to do it right then, we go and help them at that moment. Also, as parents, we can do that with our children, teaching them by our own example. Scriptures emphasize that time and time again that parents are to exemplify what they teach. Practice what we preach, we often say. And that's what we ought to do, exemplifying our own lives, our willingness to help those that are in need, volunteering to help others. Do our children see that in our lives? It's a beautiful thing. We are so blessed in our churches, in this church with the many ways that people are willing to give of themselves for the good of others. It's not perfect. There's much more that we can do, I'm sure. But yet, don't we see and acknowledge in so many ways the goodness of the other people of God to us? We experience that in rich ways. I'm glad for that. We should be encouraged in that. I'm confident, as I preach on this tonight, that our children are seeing that in the lives of their parents and grandparents, that there's giving that's done, financially, time, gifts and abilities, for the good of the church. What a powerful example that is for our children. This is the idea of the text. This is what we are to teach our children. But what we teach them here is based on truth. What we teach them, as Solomon even teaches his son, is based on theology. And the theology that it's based on is the goodness of God to His people. This is what is behind this good instruction we as parents are to give to our children. Everything we teach is rooted in the very being of God Himself and what God does. There's no exception here either. And that's important for us to see and understand tonight. It's important for our children to see and understand as well. God is a God who is good to those who are in need. Our God never withholds good things from us, His people. And it's quite evident that our need is great. Our need is great. When it comes to the things of this earth, our need is great. We cannot provide them of ourselves. We need God to provide everything that we have. Everything that we have has come from the hand of our God. But that's not why our need is great. Our need is great because of our sin. Our greatest need is deliverance from our sin. We don't simply need difficult things taken out of our lives. We don't simply need circumstances changed. We might think that that is our greatest need. No, it's not. Our greatest need is that every day we're sinning against the God of our salvation. And this is our greatest need going all the way back to the choice of our first father, Adam, but also to the daily choices that we make contrary to the word and the commandments of our God. But God freely gives to His people every good thing. We sang of that tonight in that versification of Psalm 34. We read of that in Psalm 34, the goodness of God. We read in verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good." We do taste and see that He is good. Then verse 10 says, and this is really what we should reflect on, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Isn't that true for us? We do not lack any good thing. That's part of Psalm 23, isn't it? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I lack nothing because God is my shepherd and He is so good. The sacrament of baptism that we witness tonight is a powerful testimony of the unfailing goodness of God to us. That He sent the Son of His love to suffer and die for our sins. He gave His life for sinners, for those who are enemies of themselves, who oppose God and who oppose His Son. Yet, He died for us. How wondrous is that gift? How wonderful is the goodness of God? Is there any greater gift than this? Certainly God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. As we read in James 1, verse 17, and God has been good to us in spite of all our sin. That's what's truly amazing about the goodness of God. He showers upon us goodness each and every day, although we sin against Him each and every day. In addition to that, our God has given to us an abundance of earthly things. He's given to us an abundance of gifts. He gives us time. He gives us abilities. He gives us things, all that we may use to serve Him. And we serve Him by serving others with those things. Beloved, the calling of the text for us as parents to teach our children to help those in need is based on the fact that God Himself is a God who helps those who are in need. Not everybody, you know that, not everybody. He helps His people in their need. But that means that part of this good instruction we give our kids is the instruction about the goodness of God. We always have to root it in God Himself and what God does in Jesus Christ. May we as parents be reminded here tonight to teach our children about the great goodness of God, to do that when we're gathered for family worship, to do that when they sin and they fall short of what God calls them to do, to remind them of the gospel and the goodness of God and the forgiveness of sins that is found in Jesus Christ. And then let us teach them to do good to others because this is a matter of serving God. It's not just a matter of pleasing me as a parent. This is how they serve God. Everything they do is a matter of worship, and they're either going to worship themselves or they're going to worship the God who is so good to His people in Jesus Christ. That's what we're to remind them of. Not just call them to this and be kind and do good to others who are in need. Here's why. Our God is so good to us in all the circumstances of our lives. In addition to that, this instruction here is rooted in the very judgment day. That's what we read Jesus teaching in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. We are not going to take the time to read all of those verses, but I want to call your attention to those verses in Matthew 25, the good instruction gives to His disciples during the Passion Week, an instruction that we have as well. And Jesus there speaks of the judgment day when we'll all stand before Him. We'll all stand before Him. And we read there in verse 35, Jesus Christ saying to those who are His people that they may enter into the kingdom. For we read in verse 35, I was an hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. And the question that follows is, when did we do this to you, Jesus? And Jesus answers that question in verse 40 when He says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Jesus here is talking about our helping those who are in need, particularly within the church. And He brings it to the judgment day. And what Jesus says here is not that you earn eternal life by doing certain works. That's not what Jesus is saying. But this is what's true of those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We, of course, enter into heaven because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. But Jesus reminds us in this passage that when we serve others, when we do good to others, when we're kind to them, we're doing it to Jesus Christ Himself. So often we detach the people in our lives from Christ. What Christ does in the passage is He brings them together. And He's saying, if you don't do this to someone, if you're not helping them in your time of need, that's what you're doing to me. But when you do, you're doing it to me. The point He's making is that we are to be kind to others. We're to help others in their need. And we're to teach our children this because this is the way in which we serve Jesus Christ, ministering to the needs of others, is the essence of the Christian life. It's the essence of serving Christ. This is what sets us apart from the wicked world in which we live. You see, they'll do things outwardly that look kind and good because they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't know what it means to truly do something good because they don't know the goodness of the God who saves from sin. So it's all about themselves. It's all focused on themselves and their reputation before others. But helping, truly helping those who are in need is serving Christ. It's not about recognition. It's about serving Christ. And therefore I don't need recognition for this. And in fact, true acts of kindness don't often receive recognition. Those are the kinds of works of kindness that a mother does in the home on a daily basis as she constantly is helping her children in their time of need. That's why the mother's calling is so important in the home. She exemplifies in her calling, in her work, the love of God, the goodness of God to His church and to His people. What a high calling you mothers have. An important calling that you mothers have as well. And we must see that and recognize that as well. But also, when we're looking at this, we should see and understand that Jesus Christ Himself exemplified this in His life. Think about the many times when Jesus took time to help others. One of the beautiful examples of that is when the crowd followed Him. 5,000 men plus women and children. You remember that great miracle? Kids, you remember that great miracle that Jesus performed there? He fed them with how many loaves of bread and how many fish? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Amazing miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But part of what's amazing about that history is this was at a time when Jesus wanted to be alone with His disciples because He had just heard of the death of John the Baptist, His beheading. He was planning to be alone with His disciples, to have a time of prayer, to be refreshed by the Spirit. But instead, the crowd follows Him. And so, Jesus doesn't just immediately send them away. Instead, He teaches them and He instructs them. He even feeds them with that great miracle that He performed. Before then, He sends them away. The people were in need, and He took care of that great need. There were His people there who were in need, and He taught them the next day about the fact that He is the bread of life. That was part of the life and the ministry of Jesus. In fact, the essence of it, taking care of the great need that His people had while dying on the cross. So we are to teach our children what Solomon teaches his son here in the text, in the light of Jesus Christ and His cross, teaching them that there's nothing more important in all of life than to serve Jesus Christ. And this is the way it's done. Help those around you who are in need. Help them physically. Help them spiritually. Be an encouragement to them. Of course, when they're very young, they're not going to understand that and get all of that. We teach that more and more to them as they get older. Beloved, we can teach this in the confidence that we have the ability and they have the ability in Jesus Christ. In order to do this, in order to follow this instruction that Solomon gives to his son, in order for our children to follow the instruction we give them in this, even as we set an example for them, that requires the work of the Holy Spirit in their hearts. You see, the work of God and His goodness and the work of Jesus Christ and His death is not simply an example for us. No, there's the power. There's the power. See, when God is good, He's good to His people. And that goodness is worked in them then. The cross of Jesus Christ, yes, it paid for our sins, but it's also a power in our lives, in the lives of our children, to change us, to deliver us from our selfishness, so that we no longer serve ourselves, but serve Him who died for us and rose again, as we read in 2 Corinthians 5. That's the power of the cross. And that is found the ability to keep this command of the Word of God, and that alone. Because that's true, we need to pray. We must not depend upon ourselves as parents, grandparents, that we'll be able to get through to these kids. No, you and I all know that it wasn't our parents who got through to us. It wasn't. They taught, they instructed. And it was the Holy Spirit alone that made that instruction take root in our lives so that it grew and developed and we did good and we do good to others. So let us then, as parents and grandparents, pray for our kids. Pray that they and their lives would serve Jesus Christ. Pray that they would be delivered from their selfishness. Pray that we would be used to teach them this beautiful truth. Pray that they and their lives would help those who are in need. And then we have to pray for ourselves that we would be faithful examples of helping others in their time of need. And as we see this happening in the line of generations within the church, let us be thankful, not that we're such good parents, because we are not, but let us be thankful that God is a faithful Father, and He's working. So in the line of generations, there are generations who are caring for those in need, reflecting the love and the care of God Himself in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we are thankful for this good instruction, this word. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt use it to bless us as adults and children, that we, wherever we are at, would be committed to serving those around us who are in need. Not thinking first of ourselves, but thinking first of others, because Thou art a God who gave of Himself for our good. Father, we're so thankful for Jesus Christ and all that He has done. May we reflect that in our lives in this coming week. Bless us in our fellowship together tonight. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.